Hey, welcome to the very first episode of The Horrible Show, here the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com. We're hoping to just bring you our opinions on the video game industry, the video game media, and anything else related to video game culture. I've got five very distinguished individuals joining me today from all over the country. We're going to start on the coasts with Cole Monroe out in California. How are you doing, Coalface Killa?
Doing good. How are you, sir?
I have absolutely no complaints. Very excited to get this going. And we've got Endless Ben Leonard, out in Queens. What's up, Ben?
Hey.
We've got Mr. Robiq, Rob Shaw, here in Indianapolis. What's up, Rob?
Hi there.
We've got Christina Hall, the lone gamer chick on the site, Miss Jade Tiger CG. How you doing, Christina?
Right. Represent.
And I am your host, Justin Lacey, J-Devil, also stationed here in Indianapolis. So, what we're going to do today is we've got a couple segments. We're going to kind of go around the internet table and talk about what game is on everybody's minds. And then we're going to take a look back at the crazy month of May, which had a lot of releases, more so than I can remember in any previous summer month. And then we're going to take a look around at a few news topics and then kind of review the state of HorribleNight.com itself and give you a little update of how you can get involved and what's going on with the site. So we're going to kick things off with Ben. Ben, what's been going on in your game world?
You know, I think everybody involved with the site probably already knows. I've been just completely immersed in the Mass Effect universe for the last, I don't know, month or so. You know, the second one came out, and I really wanted to play it. So I was like, oh, I'll just play through the first one, you know, just get through it. I understand what's going on in the second one, and I was not aware that just playing through it would be an impossible task for me. I think the grand total for the second one, I think I put 43 hours in, and it was probably close to that in the first one as well. So I've been sort of eating and breathing those games for a good long while.
Well, what hooked you right at first?
You know, I really like the... I think that the biggest thing for me is kind of the history and the mythology that's already there in this world. You know, there's already these complex relationships between characters and races, and you know, there's politics involved. It actually immediately sort of struck me as being similar to Battlestar Galactica, which I was a fan of. And yeah, just to up my nerd cred here. So.
Well, which game do you think's had more of an impact now that you've played both?
I think they actually both have their strengths. I think I ended up liking the gameplay and the action of the second one a little bit. There are a few just kind of interface, you know, UI things that I like better from the first one.
Really? Like what?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, like what'd you like about the first one?
Honestly, as fun as it was in the second one to, you know, spend your time raping the resources of hospitable planets. You know, that was fun to do, but right. But I don't know. It wasn't my favorite thing in the game, so I kind of liked that system better in the first one, where it's just hit a button and you get whatever's there, as opposed to the second one where you have to take, you know, a significant amount of time if you want to scan the planets. And I actually ended up at the first, you know, couple of days I played it, just scanning every, you know, bit of resource from every planet I came across, to the point where I, you know, really didn't have to do any more for the rest of the game.
Yeah, you're giving me flashbacks. I played it the same way.
I did too.
Yeah, so but just the characters and the story and the universe in those games are so rich that it was hard for me to put down.
Yeah, I totally feel you there. I had the I played Mass Effect 1 and 2 about a year apart. I didn't get Mass Effect 1 right away, but you know, the consensus is that Mass Effect 2 is the more polished game, and they took the lessons from Mass Effect 1, kind of set the scope with the first game, but kind of refined the gameplay. But I was just kind of interested when you said you preferred certain elements of Mass Effect 1 that, you know, I'm just Mass Effect 2 all the way, so.
Well, I haven't played Mass Effect 2 yet. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't be jumping in here. It's not my segment.
No, go ahead, Rob.
What's up? I haven't played Mass Effect 2 yet, but from what I've heard, all the controls and everything are so much better, like the way the battles are and all that stuff. But I had no complaints with the first one at all. I just thought it was pretty amazing, the whole game.
I forgot you finished Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then I bought Mass Effect 2 before I even finished the first one, thinking I'd jump straight into it, and then, you know, I got sidetracked and haven't played it at all yet. But, I don't know. I had zero complaints with any of the controls or anything in the first one. Maybe the bouncy Land Rover, but
yeah,
I hated that thing.
That's about it.
What, Christina? I know you've played through both. What's your kind of consensus on the series? I think Ben and I are huge fanboys, and I think Rob's about to be a convert, but I don't really know your take.
I thought the first one, I'm big on story. I love that kind of movie sort of cinematic feel to it. But for some reason, I could not get into it, and I didn't care. I realized that if you push up and to the right or whatever it was, you're always going to do the positive response, and if you push down and to the right, you're always going to do the negative one. So I just kept pushing up to the right, and then eventually when I got to the end of the game, I had the blue alien chick come up to me and the only other male human, and they're both saying, hey, you're leading us both on. Come on, you got to choose. And I didn't realize I had become a trans species lesbian. So, I just didn't care about the story, but this one I actually did follow and listen to all the conversations, and I couldn't tell if the graphics were any better. Maybe it was my imagination. They seemed a little bit more polished.
I think it looks about the same, other than you don't see as much building in of the graphics. I think they...
So I liked it overall. The weapons were the only thing I couldn't figure out. You know, they didn't really have stats. They just kind of had the name and then a long description of each one. And
in the first or second one?
In the second one. Yeah. I seem to think in the first one they were more number-based. Am I wrong?
Yeah, they
no,
all...
That's correct.
Yeah, in the first one there's a lot more weapons. They kind of... I think there's only two or three variations of each weapon in the second one, but it's, you know.
I do like the comparisons.
Go ahead, Rob.
Sorry. It's a lot of comparison swapping in the first one. If you're into that, kind of see what you have and if what you just picked up is better, swap it if it is. What add-ons do you have that make this weapon better for this scenario, kind of a thing? Do they carry that over to the second one? Or is,
not at all. I think that was just a design decision they made. They wanted to streamline the whole weapon and equipment management, and that was one of the things they cut out. And I think it works better for it, because I don't think the weapons should be the focus in that game.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know, I sort of enjoyed, you know, finding new weapons.
There's a goodness. Duck. There's a duck trying to get in your way, Ben. We're going to try to kind of stay on topic. The duck is going to help guide us in the right way. But kind of final thoughts on Mass Effect from you, Ben. Where did you end up placing your character? As far as are you done with your character in Mass Effect 2? You're going to take the current one into Mass Effect 3, or are you going to play through it again and kind of refine it?
I may play a little bit through. But I think for the most part, I'm just going to take this character into the next one.
Nice.
I'm interested to see, you know, what the next one starts out with, because I'm wondering what happens to the people whose main character didn't survive the second one.
It's crazy how many loose ends are going to have to tie up in between each game. So, and with all the DLC coming out too. But
right.
Anyway, so we're going to move on to Rob. Rob, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, you would think I'd be talking about Red Dead because I was so excited about that game, but I haven't really played it that much yet. What I have been playing, oddly enough, is Trials.
Trials kinda, HD, the
yeah.
Xbox Live Arcade physics yeah, experiment.
For punishment, aren't you?
I am. I don't know why I just started picking that game up and playing it again. I played it when it first came out a little bit, and then in my typical fashion got sidetracked again. Played something else and just kind of forgot about it, but then I started picking it up again here recently. And
any reason why?
I was just looking for something quick to play one day and just scrolled down the list and decided to play that one.
Gotcha.
Because that's something you can just kind of pick up and play, you know, pick a level and kind of master it, play it for about half hour.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're supposed to be able to pick that game up and play it for, 5 minutes at a time, but
yeah, depends on how much of a perfectionist you are.
Oh my god.
Ben, don't touch that game, for the record.
Alright, noted.
I love that game, how they set up the kind of the arcadeness of it, where you can compare your friends' times and scores and all that, and it just makes it makes you tie into your friends a lot more than a lot of the other arcade games do.
Pick that game up a little bit before everyone else did, and I kind of played through it for a week, and then I think you and Dustin Pixel Mixer picked it up, and you immediately jumped out on the leaderboards in front of me of all the my first round of times, and I went back to try to beat you on everything, and I only tried to keep up for a week, but you definitely took off. And that game is just so frustrating when you're trying to make up like 2 seconds on one track. But for those that haven't played, kind of talk through the setup of the main game.
Well, it's basically just a series of levels that you're riding a little motorcycle on. You can control the speed that you're going and the shift of weight of the rider on the bike. You're just going from left to right, and there's all these obstacles that you're trying to get through and basically get to the end of the course without crashing or crashing as little as possible and get through as fast as you can, which sounds simple. Some of the harder levels you get to is just crazy trying to get through those without wrecking at all.
Yeah, you really have to master about the middle of the game, you start have to mastering being able to rock back and forth and shift your weight on your bike at the right time and choose the right bike to be able to get through the track.
That is a big part of it. Yeah, they did a nice job of the level design in that, I thought.
Yeah, it's brutal. It seems like one of those games, especially when I pick up any Xbox Live Arcade game, I want to try to get as many achievements as possible.
Right.
And, when I first started playing through the first levels on this, I was like, you know, I can get all the achievements in this game, and I'm nowhere close. And I have put probably 30 hours into that game. And
yeah, once you get about halfway through the medium and then into the hard, the silver medals start to seem a lot harder to get at that point.
Yeah, it looks like that's still running 1,200 Microsoft fictional money points. Right. So it's a $15 game. It seems a bit steep when you play the demo because it seems pretty one-dimensional, but it's a real-time sync, and I think they've even released some DLC for it. Did you pick any of those up?
The big pack? No, I didn't. I didn't. I was going to get through all the main stuff first, and then I'll definitely pick it up at some point. But
yeah, and that's another 400 points, $6 for the big pack.
I think there's quite a bit of stuff in it.
Yeah, and they wanted to do a lot of stuff with, like, you know, their leaderboards work where you can download the fastest time in the game and see how that person went through the track to kind of refine your techniques. And they wanted to do a lot more on the sharing and releasing of new tracks for the game, but they kind of hit a wall with how Xbox Live kind of works that way. And there's some interesting interviews out there with Red Lynx, the developer, as far as the hurdles that they've come across with trying to structure their game to allow for user-generated content, which just didn't come together for them. It's pretty interesting.
Well, it's in there, though.
Yeah, it's in there, but not to the degree that they would like. But yeah.
Oh. Well, probably because it takes a lot of time to build a track.
Yeah. I think that's also
the achievement.
I think it's also on the PC. I'll have to look that. I'll have to look it up.
I think you're right. Has anyone else played that?
Oh, good.
No, I have not.
Good wrap-up question. Duck says, last question. Has anybody else played that game?
Nope.
I haven't, but it sounds a lot in form like a series of Flash games that have been on the net for a while that I always found really addictive, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. If you ever played Stuntman and like that, you'll like
yeah,
Kyle.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool. Well, Christina, since you spoke up a little bit, we'll go to you. what game is on your mind right now?
Well, I just beat Alan Wake, and the way I play games is I always start out on the easiest level because I have to get it out of my system. I've got to blow through it. And then I go back and I do it on each difficulty. So
each difficulty?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, occasionally I'll skip the middle one.
I was going to say.
Well, typically I do. I go through it. Just, you know, it's $60 a game. I want to get my money's worth. I was really excited about this one just because it seemed like a different kind of game. And I think a lot of things they got right, and I think there's a lot of things they need to work on. Gameplay, it was very much like a zombie game. You've got these guys, they're called the Taken. They're attacking you with you know, typical hatchet, chainsaw, and those weapons. But that kind of gameplay doesn't really change at all, I found. You know, you figure out a way to take care of them, and you pretty much do that the rest of the game.
A way it's to take care of the Taken?
Take care of the Taken, exactly. I did like how the story unfolded. It plays out very much like a Stephen King audiobook. You'll walk by something and you just get those tiny bits of detail that he'll just start narrating while you're walking through. I did like that. As you're picking up pages of this story that you haven't yet written or you're in the middle of writing, you do have to pause the game to listen to him, which I didn't really like, but I know why they did it, so that it didn't interrupt the gameplay. You know, if you're being attacked by 1,000 things and you've got this calm voice saying, "I walked down the stairs," I don't think it would have worked well. Halo ODST did it pretty well, where you got little nuggets of story and you could continue playing while that was running in the background. Wasn't a huge fan of that game either, though. But yeah, the atmosphere was kind of neat, creepy. Definitely a good game to play, you know, with all the lights out at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Cool. I just finished that game over the weekend, and I'm actually working on a review for the site, so I'll kind of keep my comments brief. But Christina and I have already talked about it. We kind of feel the same about the game. I really liked it, but when I was playing through it, my overall take of it is that the gameplay just isn't really that strong or all that interesting, but it keeps you engaged enough that I started wondering how that relates to a game like Heavy Rain, which is more of – they kind of pitch it more of as an interactive movie game experience. And from everything I've read about Heavy Rain is that the tasks they have you do to move the story along are even more mundane than what Alan Wake would do. And I kind of would, I think for that type of game, it's somewhere in between what Alan Wake's been trying to do and what Heavy Rain was. And, because it just doesn't work as an all out game. And I just, you know, they polish so many different details of that, that it's very engrossing experience. But at the same time, they just made some unnecessary choices, and I think when a game is in development for that long, which I think is 4 or 5 years for Alan Wake, you know, they didn't let go of some things they probably should have to make that really a top-tier experience. But I'm happy with it. I think Christine and I both kind of agree that it's a rental for most people, but it's such a different experience on the consoles that I'm happy to have it in my collection for sure.
Does the lack of accurate voice syncing take you out of the game at all?
I noticed it a little bit on you locate a TV shows that kind of run like a Twilight Zone program, and I noticed that even though the actors were speaking in English, they did not sync up at all. And I wonder if they did that deliberately so that, you know, they could release it in other countries, or maybe the actors they got to play those roles were just not very good. Because I think those sections were live action, and then they just kind of did a visual treatment to make it look like the game, like they were 3D and rendered.
Hmm.
I could be wrong about that, but they seemed live action to me.
It took me out, Cole, and because what it struck me was just that they had so much time to work on this game, and really you can't sync up the voices. That was really, really disappointing to me. But again, I don't know what the hurdles they had to overcome. It just seems like they were playing with the story and the flow of the gameplay, and that, I mean, it really works really well. The way they separate the chapters is brilliant. I love that they're contained within episodes, and when you start a new episode, it does a previously on Alan Wake type of scenario. And I was actually showing the game to a friend and playing through all the cutscenes for him, and he was able to get caught up on the story pretty well just from the little previously thing. I thought that was pretty clever. But
that is pretty cool.
I think they must have gotten really meticulous with the story and must have been changing things up at the last minute, but they really should have drawn the line a long time ago. You know, when you know, I look at a game like Uncharted 2 that probably had similar hurdles, but they were able to integrate interesting gameplay with a very interesting story, and, you know, the cutscenes didn't take me out of it at all, and was done in less time, and that developer's done two games this generation, and we haven't heard from Remedy very much, so it's all dual.
I know I had read that they originally were planning to have sandbox style environment. Do you think that would have improved or taken away from the game?
If they hadn't have, my biggest beef with it was they have the collection thing, the unnecessary item you have to hunt for, and it's these fucking coffee thermoses. There's 100 of them, and they have nothing to do with the story. I mean, they didn't even tie it into the character, like, oh yeah, Alan really likes to drink coffee, and he's an insomniac, and this is what keeps him up all night.
Maybe this is why
he's a little off. I thought it was gonna be brought up at all, but no, there's just fucking 100 coffee thermoses hidden all over the forest. So if this were a larger level and there weren't those boundaries, I think I would have shot myself trying to look for those things. Because I do have that compulsion. I have to, I call it the pack rat complex. I've got to just collect all that stuff. And it's all junk.
I think that's what you're working through right now. Nope. Last little comment is, I know you're going back and playing through the achievements, but there was one more mundane detail related to the achievements that bothered me. So you collect the manuscript pages and you collect the thermoses, but there's also an achievement for shooting down stacks of cans. There are maybe a dozen in the entire game, but you'll come across a picnic table that just has a stack of cans in a pyramid, and you have to shoot it down. And yeah.
He hates these cans.
Exactly. Even more, I think it's even more arbitrary than the coffee thermoses. That cracks me up.
I'm just glad there's not too many of those, though.
But all in all, you get really nitpicky with that game. It's really easy to get absorbed in it. It was actually longer than I thought it would be.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You said 6 hours. I was like, what?
No, I think I probably spent, I played it through on hard. And I think I spent about 10 or 11 hours with it. So, what about you, Christine?
It's fun. It's got nice atmosphere. I really did like the story. There was one thing at the end that I didn't quite get, but I don't want to ruin it for anyone. So,
don't.
I think they set it up for a sequel, and I don't know how the downloadable content will play in, if it's going to be chapters that are kind of come in the middle of that whole storyline, or if it's going to be after the fact. So, looking forward to play those.
And look, I'll try to do something interesting with the review now that Christina's played through it and kind of had her thoughts too. But look for an official review on the site pretty soon. All right. Coleman, the lone cowboy in the group. What's going on?
Well, we were talking about a game with bad syncing of the voices to the mouth movement and going to a good one in Red Dead Redemption. I was actually just watching a cutscene before this podcast started, and I was just amazed at how good the syncing up of the voice and the characters were. But, that game is really, really good.
Agreed.
I've been playing I just got into Mexico the other day and just did the first mission today. And
how many hours is that in?
I'd say, well, I've been doing some side stuff recently, like doing the flower collecting and killing animals and stuff.
I thought the flower collecting was a joke.
No, it's definitely not. It's a survivalist rank thing game.
Do you ever actually use the flowers or just collect them?
Well, there is one part where you do use them. I don't want to spoil it because it's pretty funny.
Okay.
It's a stranger mission that you use the flowers on.
Okay.
So and then you could sell them, in shops and stuff. But I don't really know other than that what their use is. I'd say I'm probably maybe 12 hours in. But again, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
If I just play straight missions, I don't know how far that would be. It's hard to say in the same.
No one's who plays straight missions, especially out of this group. Well, Christina might blow through the story. I don't know how you handle your sandbox games, but I get sidetracked more than anyone. I will never beat Just Cause 2 for that reason. So.
I go after that stuff too.
I've been watching my roommate play through it, and it has been pretty hilarious to watch him, you know, mow down a band of outlaws and then stop to pick some pretty purple flowers.
That's right.
Just put it in his pocket.
I mean, for playing like MMOs and every type of RPG with every random type of collectible quest, I've made my brain has been able to stretch why that fits into the universe, but I don't know why a cowboy needs to pick flowers. I just
to survive.
What?
Well, maybe it'll come out, you know, in the later part of the game where there was actually something useful for this. I don't know.
You also collect like cactus things and other stuff too, right?
Yeah, that's part of the same survivalist category. Like right now I'm on prickly pears that you pick from cactus, right? So
well, anybody that's not to cut you off, Cole, but I was just anybody that has talked to me about this game recently, for some reason I have a vendetta against Rockstar just because I did not enjoy GTA 4 at all, and so I've been anti-Red Dead, but I've started to come around, and I don't know if I'm looking at what's coming out in June. I don't know if I'm going to get through the month without buying it. But what's tied me in and what I'm interested to find out is all these glitches that are popping up in the game. Have any of you guys witnessed any yourself?
Nope.
I just have one, the glitch, but it's not a funny one. It was just I was trapped behind a gate when I died.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I told you about it before.
That's not a funny glitch.
No, it's not funny at all. I was actually quite pissed off and had to restart the game. But I would really love to see a lady that looks like a donkey that you could ride throughout the game.
I want to see Cheetah Man.
And then if you could save her as your mount, that would be even better. So you could come back, turn the game off, come back, and then she would be hitched to the post outside of your house or whatever.
Is Cheetah Man and Cougar Man the same thing, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if there's cheetahs too. So
that's what I meant.
I was watching those videos, and it seems just like from the guys who are laughing and talking, it seems to be just the same guys who posted the video. So I don't know if the game was just wacky or what, but I haven't seen more than one person have that happen to them.
Well, let's see.
Kind of weird.
I've heard of donkey lady, cougar man, and then I guess there's like an eagle man too.
The flying people.
Yeah. So basically what the glitches are, there's all these animals out in the world that they're randomly populating, and they get the character, the 3D model of a human put into
there's a lot of human characters that are randomly populated. Like you'll be riding your horse alongside a road, and like a bunch of people will show up just riding horses or in a carriage or on the side of the road trying to rob you. But I don't know if the mapping just gets mixed up in, you know, the background of the game or something, but I really want to see it happen in mine.
So have you seen anything small? Like I've heard that you'll like just see a person on a horse ride by as fast as a car or something like that. Like, are those glitches plentiful?
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that either. I've seen like the clipping kind of stuff that with the camera moving around, invisible. Oh, you know, I did see one. I just remembered. I was playing the other day, and my horse. I had gotten off my horse next to a horse that was like in a mission, like it was hitched in a mission, and for a minute there, it looked like one horse had two heads. Just the way the camera was moving around, and you couldn't see the body of the second horse. But then once it went away from the cutscene, it was just you could see that it was just two horses. But I was pretty pumped for a second because I thought it was I thought it was a horse with two heads.
Go ahead.
Now you mentioned it during a cutscene. I did have a dude that just wasn't there. Like he was talking, and what he was holding was moving around, but the person himself wasn't there. So that's the only thing I've come across.
It's just funny that those I want to buy the game to find the glitches. Like that's might be the thing that does me in the end. Other than just atmosphere wise and gameplay wise, it looks a lot more solid than and different than Grand Theft Auto for me. I don't mind the mission structure, but I just think I'll like the atmosphere a lot. So
I think the difference between it and Grand Theft Auto is just that it's a new setting for me. Like when we were playing Grand Theft Auto 4, it was basically the last three Grand Theft Auto games, you know, their same mission structures were basically the same. You were driving cars, you know, it was just from San Andreas to Vice City to Grand Theft Auto 3. They were all, you know, rolled into Grand Theft Auto 4. So
you don't think that maybe Red Dead Redemption 4 might, it might wear off by then, but for now it's fresh enough that it's the setting's so different that
I definitely feel that way. Like if the sequels come out, which I'm sure they will because this game seems to be pretty successful, that the fatigue will be there for this kind of game too.
I agree with that.
Good deal. Well, I've been pleasantly surprised by the news about that game, so I'm happy to be wrong and happy for Rockstar to have a different franchise too. So, all right.
Actually, just a quick anecdote for anybody that doesn't know. I'm attending an audio production school in New York City, and we the placement department of my school has been slowly sort of building relationships with the few game studios in the area. And I was talking to a guy, an administrator, the other day, and he said that they've been trying to build a relationship with Rockstar, but they won't hire people straight out of school. They will only hire people with experience in the industry because he said flat out, they said because they're worried about spies, about corporate espionage.
Wow. In my brain, I don't put them on that level, and it's just because I'm stubborn, and I think they're kind of, you know, between Manhunt and Grand Theft Auto, they're kind of, you know, one-note cowboys, but...
Oh, they have Bully, too.
Table tennis? Come on.
Dude, table tennis is awesome. I retract that statement. I forget that's in there. That's in their repertoire. So, that's interesting. Well, aside from playing through Alan Wake, I also picked up Blur last week, and I was pretty blown away with the multiplayer demo, and I had this big Blur versus Split Second debate in my head, and I was going to pick one and stick with it. We won't get to the fact that I picked up Split Second this week because it's $40 at Best Buy. But Blur has been a great experience. I'm probably about halfway through the single player campaign, and it's been kind of interesting. I've been reading reviews of it, and they all get tired of the single player campaign, which I understand, but it's because the multiplayer is so good. And I am not a big fan of playing multiplayer games online with strangers. I like to play in small groups of people, you know. I just think they're more fun that way. I never hook up my headset because I don't like to hear the 12-year-olds and I don't like to talk to them. I've never been a big fan of jumping into Halo that way, but for some reason on the Blur demo and now transitioned over the game, I've been playing a lot of multiplayer, and it's been fun. I mean, it plays exactly like a kart racer. I love their advertising campaign making fun of Mario Kart and, you know, race like a big boy is their kind of tagline. And I just think it's funny that they went right at Mario Kart kind of unnecessarily. It's just like, you know, you can both kind of coexist because there's really no new Mario Kart coming out right now. I'm surprised they didn't attack, Mod Nation Racers, which came out in the same week. But I would gladly, you know, push someone to choose or try Blur over Mod Nation Racers, having tried the demos of both. Mod Nation Racers has a lot going for it in its creation side, but I think the multiplayer fun in Blur is kind of, it has a lot of potential. They have a whole ranking system there and a lot of different game modes. I just tried the kind of battle mode, which is very, very reminiscent of the Mario Kart arenas. And that I even had fun with strangers. So I can't wait for one of you to actually pick up the game so I can play with somebody I know. But,
all right, I'll do it.
That was easy.
Talk him into it. But the one complaint the complaints I'm seeing about the game are just the complaints across the board about kart racers. And it actually is what I love about it is my favorite part that I keep going back to is at the beginning of every race, you know, there is this kind of rush to the start line. And yeah. Then there's kind of a countdown for when the power-ups show up on the track. And then all the power-ups hit and it is just fucking chaos for about 30 seconds when everybody's so tightly packed. And I don't know, it cracks me up every time. Like it's annoying as hell. And yeah, it's cheap and it takes a lot of luck to win those races. And you know, I have skill-based racing games. I don't need that out of every game. And I love the chaos of Blur and it's done really well. The weapons are balanced really well. Everything has its offensive use and defensive use. I think they did a great job with it. And it's probably, you know, I will try to avoid buying Activision games when possible. This was made by Bizarre Creations, the Geometry Wars guys, and also the Project Gotham Racing guys that I didn't really play those games. But they're evolving to one of my favorite companies just because they grasp how people are playing online games now. And just everything in that game has a leaderboard, and everything in that game you can taunt your friends on Facebook, on Twitter, whether you use it or not, or through Xbox Live and PlayStation Network to let your friends know that you just beat their score. And I love that stuff. So Rob's in. Anybody else even seemingly interested in that game at all?
Not a racing fan.
Oh yeah.
Not even Mario Kart.
I did play Mario Kart back in the day, but I think since I've gotten the 360, I have not played a single racing game on there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not even Burnout. Wow.
Not even Burnout, yeah.
How does it compare to like a Burnout-like game, Justin?
I'm a huge Burnout fan.
Yeah, I like the last one a lot.
The racing isn't as tight, but it doesn't need to be. Like the cars just they don't feel as well, but it's really is a lot closer related to Mario Kart than Burnout, so which I think is a cool thing.
Yeah,
I played a lot of the demo, and I had a real fun time with it. What's the single player game like? What do they do with that?
It's broken into, I think there's 7 or 8 rivals that you race against. So each section you have one defined rival that has a power up that you get if you beat them in a one-on-one race. But you have to win a certain amount of events in order to get the privilege of racing them. And they also have each racer has different criteria that you need to. Use the shunt 4 times and to knock a guy out before you can race them. So they all have different goals, and that's how all the achievements are laid out too. Is just by doing different types of uses of the power ups.
Sounds like a lot more fun version of Scrap Metal.
yeah, Scrap Metal depresses me. Let's move.
Yeah, that was a waste of money.
Ben, what's keeping you from playing the game?
Just the fact that I haven't picked it up yet. I'm actually really looking forward to playing it.
Very cool.
It sounds like something's right up my alley. So.
And Christina, I think if there's there are two racing games that have come out recently that if you are ever interested in the genre, I think Blur and Split Second are both trying to do very different things. That I've read reviews where both of them are billed as racing games for non-racing fans. So,
Okay.
It's very cool. All right. Well, that kind of touched on a lot of the chaos that happened in May. Starting back after E3 last year, I think a lot of companies started realizing that their entire release schedule was centered around their holidays, and
they realized, and a lot of them had to get away from Modern Warfare 2 at the same time.
Yeah, and that's what hit at the end. None of them wanted to go up against it, so you started seeing a lot of games being delayed to the first quarter, and kind of January, February had a lot more releases than usual, and then also here at the end of the second quarter, a lot of games came out in May, and it hurt the wallet a lot to try to pick and choose. We talked about three of the major games, Alan Wake, Red Dead Redemption, and Blur. But we also did a post kind of right after the site launch, just kind of going over the rest of the games of the month and what games we thought we might pick up or try to play. And I've got a list of them here just to try to get everybody's 2 cents on what they think of it now that the month has gone by, and whether or not they picked it up or why they didn't pick it up. So just kind of feel free. I'll kind of intro the game and then see what everybody thinks. One of the big ones on my list was Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, which picks up after Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, the video game, not the movie. Even though I think the only thing I can see tied into the movie was the look of the prince kind of looked a little bit like Jake Gyllenhaal's prince, and not so much like the traditional prince. But
is that a good thing?
I don't know.
I just didn't find him very like a good action hero. He always plays kind of the innocent, quirky sort of guy. Yeah, I don't know.
True.
He's not a badass.
Yeah, I just have such low expectation for gay movies. They had to choose somebody, and he didn't look.
You say gay movies or game movies?
Potato, potato.
Well, he's in both.
I was gonna say. I can't quit Prince of Persia.
I probably will go see that.
But did anybody read anything about the game that kind of swayed them either way? Rob, I know you're kind of halfway interested in it.
I'm definitely interested in it. I'm going to play it. I just don't know when.
Gotcha.
It looks a lot like, just from the gameplay footage that I've seen, It looks very similar to Sands of Time, which is fine with me. If it was just Sands of Time kind of reskinned, I would play it again.
Yeah. It's kind of exactly what it sounds like it is. I was kind of underwhelmed by reviews, so it's gone to the back of the pack. I will probably pick it up when there's like a lull in the fall. I still have Assassin's Creed 2 sitting unwrapped on my table, so I think I've got a few other games I'll play before I pick that up. But it'll be interesting to see if I end up grabbing it at any time.
I'll definitely wait till it's discounted a little bit.
Yep. The next one on my list was Xenoclash, the Ultimate Edition.
Yeah.
I think Rob and I both picked that up. I actually own that game now on both Steam and on the Xbox, and I have played both of them for a grand total of maybe an hour and a half.
Nice.
But at the same time, I absolutely love the game. So take that for what it's worth. That's my 2 cents on Xenoclash. What'd you think when you cracked it open digitally, Rob?
Nice. It's weird, and that's a given. You know that before you even buy it. But I don't know. I think it's fun, but I had a hard time kind of getting into the story at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really give it enough time to get into it too much. I probably played the first two chapters or something.
Gosh, the game is weird. That's the only way to describe it. The gameplay hook is that it has a lot of first-person brawling, and it works really well. I thought the controls on the controller on the 360 were a lot more confusing than they were on the keyboard. So
really?
I would almost suggest playing it on Steam, even though I think the 360 version is the more polished version. But just, you know, to support indie games, Xenoclash is a good pickup on either platform, and kind of anxious to see what comes out of that studio from here on out.
I think once I get into the more difficult levels, it'll be more fun. Just because in the earlier levels, there's really not that much going on when you're fighting. You're just kind of fighting one or two people, and you can see what's going on pretty easily and run around and punch them in the face, whatever. But when it gets to be more complicated, like four, five, six dudes around you, I think the battles get a little more skill-based.
Yeah, I can see that. After 90 minutes of playing, I can see that. But that's on Xbox Live now. I believe that was, let me look up the price real quick, but I believe it was another $15 one, which seems to be the price point that all these games are going for, sadly, anymore. Still feel like most of these should be $10, but that's another $15 purchase. But check it out. Check out the demo, and just to see how weird it is, honestly.
That's why I spent $15.
I'll spend $15 on weird. The other kind of big game that we haven't talked about at all and really hasn't gotten as much coverage as any other game in its series, or especially for the reviews that it's getting, is Super Mario Galaxy 2. Who wants to jump in on that?
I don't have a Wii.
I haven't got it yet, but I'm definitely going to. I loved the first one. Played through that one pretty quick because I just couldn't put it down.
Yeah, so. Cole and I ran into a problem with Super Mario Galaxy 1. Why don't you go into that, Cole?
We both love the game, but it was more like we were going through it too fast, so we put it down because we didn't want it to end. I know for me. So I never finished it, and I don't own it anymore, and I kind of regret that because I really want to play it, and I almost bought the second one today. But I was just like, I have Red Dead Redemption right now. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to take away from that. So.
Yeah, Rob, it's actually. Go ahead.
I'm really looking forward to playing Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Rob, I kind of blame you because I saw you go through it so quickly. I think I picked it up after you had already beat it, and I was just I got into that game and loved every little detail about it, and I was like, I don't really want this experience to end. And it hasn't for me because I stopped playing after I got 36 stars in like, you know, a day or whatever. And
there's still a lot of stars I haven't gotten. And I thought I would go back to the game and collect every single one after I beat it, but I just never did that.
Well, I popped it in not last week, in the weekend before. So I was playing Monster Hunter Tri, Super Mario Galaxy, and Alan Wake. It was quite an interesting balance of games, but I resolved to beat Mario Galaxy 1 before I buy 2. But everything I'm reading about Mario Galaxy 2, it sounds like they just perfected everything that was right about Mario Galaxy 1. And I really think that they have finally nailed how a 3D Mario game should play and what the universe should be. They shouldn't try to wrap it up in too much story or setting like Super Mario Sunshine was, where I got distracted by the characters and the story and trying to make these, you know, eight diverse lands that you go to. This just these little mini planets that all have like some sort of gimmick to them is just perfect for the Mario platforming style, and I just you know, I hope they have thousands of other ideas just like that, and they can keep giving me these little mini levels, and I think it's perfect. So, 3D.GameHeroes is the next one on my list. I think Cole, you kind of brought that one up, but I don't think you purchased it. What happened?
No, I don't know. I just it's watching more videos, and I think it's cool, but I think just by watching the videos and stuff, I got out what I wanted to get out of it. I don't really need to play another Zelda-like game right now. When I was trying to get through Final Fantasy 13 still and playing Red Dead, it's just, I don't know, just not different enough for me, I guess. I mean, it's a different game for sure, but it's just not something that I want to get into right now.
Sure. I still just want to see the game.
I think it would be better for a rental than, I mean, I know it's only like $40 too, so the price is pretty good for a full game, but
here's a tangent. Go ahead. Before I tangent, go ahead.
What's that on? I don't really know much about that game at all.
It's just on the PlayStation 3.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not playing it then.
There's his tangent.
No, my tangent is like, getting into reviewing games, we all kind of classify games as buys or rentals, but do any of you guys rent games?
Not anymore.
The last game I rented was Little...
Yeah.
The last game I rented was Little Big Planet, and that was like right after it came out.
Well, maybe we should turn game flying into the verb rather than renting.
Yeah, I guess so.
And maybe they'll give us some money.
Hey.
I'm using GameFly right now, and it's difficult to get the new games on there, I've found, even if I remove everything from my queue and leave that one up there. I've tried that. It has worked a couple times. It worked for Alan Wake, and I'm trying to remember the first game I got from them. But
you got Battlefield pretty quick.
Yeah, that's the other one. That was the first game I got from them.
I think... that actually gives me a topic idea for a future podcast is GameFly strategies.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if they have the same kind of setup that Netflix has, because I've read online about Netflix that, like, at the beginning of your subscription, they'll send out movies a lot faster and then slow them down once you start sending them back. So I don't know if GameFly is like that, too.
Maybe the first game comes out, because I got Bad Company 2 really quick. I was surprised. And then the second game, I actually went an entire month without them sending me anything, and I had five or six games in there. I had Uncharted 2. I had Heavy Rain. I can't remember what else I had in there. But yeah, they wouldn't send me any of them, and all of them were in high demand at the time, and that was kind of lame. So put some old stuff in your queue.
Well, that's all you'll get, the old stuff.
Yeah. Which is nice. I've forgotten, like, what I've missed out on that I would want to go back and play.
It's kind of a tangent that we're on, but that's why I got rid of GameFly, is because I wasn't getting any of the new games I wanted to play, and I was getting old games that I could buy for the same cost as having the GameFly subscription.
Yeah, so. I think I've talked to you about my opinion there, but we'll save that for another time.
Hey, right. Does anybody trade games anymore? Like, trade with each other? Like, can I borrow this game?
I have kind of set up a Justin Lacey rental store for a few friends, but I actually need to maybe integrate that into the site. But I lend out games. I don't really trade them.
Well, because you buy everything.
Well, I have. That's my problem. So what?
You need to go on intervention.
Lacey, you have a problem.
I'm okay with it.
Admit it. That's the first step to recovery.
I've admitted it. I just don't want to recover.
All right. Fair enough.
Fair enough, yes.
The next game on my list was the PlayStation exclusive ModNation Racers. I tried out the demo a little bit.
I played the demo as well.
I thought it was a little bit hard to understand, as far as I had no idea what the power-ups were. Like, all the icons were so... so similar. I didn't know what was going on with those. It had a lot of potential, I think the big draw would be to play the user-generated tracks and see the user-generated characters.
Definitely.
But I didn't think that the gameplay didn't do anything for me. I mean, it feels like a cart game, but they're for all the hype about the game, there wasn't much to it. But that's just from the demo. It just doesn't seem like it should be a $50 game for that kind of stuff, and they could probably make money off of DLC for it and keep the price down or something. But with Blur, I have no interest in Mod Nation Racers as is right now.
I mean, I played the demo, and you know, I liked it. I haven't played a kart racer in a long time, and I just the level design is cool and everything for that one track you get, but what I really want to play is all the tracks that the users have created and download all those crazy vehicles and the character models too. But you just don't get that from the demo, and even the character that you create in the demo you can't use, so you can only use it if you could buy the full game. So I thought that was kind of lame.
So what are the actual races like? Are they just straight races, or is there any kind of...
It's races with power-ups, yeah.
And shortcuts and stuff. I mean, it's very similar to a Mario Kart.
And the track I played on the demo, it kind of changes each lap. The shortcuts will open and close depending on the lap you're on, and like ramps and stuff. I mean, that stuff's done really well. It just, there was something overly generic about it that I didn't see the big draw. And other than the user generated stuff, which I know I will consume but not add to. So
definitely. I mean, it's just like Little Big Planet in that respect too. Like, I enjoyed downloading the user generated content more than I got out of playing the levels that the designers created. So
the next one on my list is actually a game that I've really enjoyed and spent a lot more time than I should have with, as Picross 3D. I think it's the only DS game we have on the list too. Am I the only DS owner out of this group?
I've got one.
Good deal.
I used to have one, but I sold it.
I've got one. I haven't really checked it out.
Did either of you play the 2D version of Picross?
Yes.
No, I did not.
And then I think there was an old Mario Picross back on one of the consoles, or maybe the first Game Boy. But anyway, this is a fantastic puzzle game, and I can say fantastic because the game's only $20. And
really?
Yeah, I mean, like, regardless of anything else, like, I was worried that the transition to 3D with the puzzles would be hard to understand. It wouldn't be as much simple fun as the other game. But for $20, I've lost track of how many hours I put into it, but I've put more hours into that than I've put into Alan Wake or Blur. I can already tell you that. And I've just gotten, I think there are 300 puzzles, and I've just gotten through the easy level of puzzles, which the easy 100 puzzles, and yeah, it goes to a new level when you hit normal and hard. But anyway, I couldn't recommend that game enough for fans of puzzle games that kind of like the Sudoku style math based puzzles. You know, it's not hard math by any means, but
it's kind of like Sudoku and Minesweeper.
Yes. And when you start grasping the logic, I just, you know, I could endlessly do those puzzles. And and also, if you check out the giant bomb quick play of that, you can see how rocking the soundtrack is. It's got a pretty good beat to it. But $20 if you have a DS, couldn't recommend it more.
I'll get it.
Okay, fair enough.
You're so easy, Rob.
That's why I keep Rob around. He makes me feel good about my suggestions.
That's why I'm always sidetracked.
Actually, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. Steam for Mac came out this month. And Ben, did you play around with that at all?
I did. You know, I was pretty excited because, you know, I thought, all right, now I can, you know, play Torchlight in class. And then I realized that involved just a tremendous amount of noise going clack, 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 clack in my mouth. So that didn't work out so well. But yeah, no, I've actually been enjoying it.
Cool. What about your Portal experience?
It's fun. I, I've kind of been replaying some of those games again because, I don't know, they're on a new computer. It might feel like a new game, but Portal is one of those that I played through too. So,
do you think that'll become your, I mean, once the games kind of even out, do you think that'll become your main platform for a non-console gaming?
Oh, I doubt it. I mean, you know, it's the laptop I'm using at the moment, so it's nice to have those games on the go, but gotcha. I think I'll always probably game on the desktop. So.
Cool. Well, it sounds like it was a success for them, and good to have, you know, Max back in the gaming world for sure.
Yeah, they just, I think this last week they released Half-Life 2 and Episode 1 and Episode 2 for like $6 for each of those episodes. So,
wow.
I don't know, it's very intriguing to me, having not played those games at all.
I'm going to kind of...
Yeah, and
go ahead.
I was going to say, you mentioned Portal. It was great to see them release that for free with the, you know, the original download, because I think the more people that are exposed to that game, the better, because I think it's a great game.
So. Oh, yeah, I never played it, and I was so glad they released it for free. I love it.
Well, you don't have to just play Portal to get that experience anymore. Rob recently went through that with me in Darksiders, mm-hmm. but I'll leave.
Yeah, right.
I'll leave that for anybody that wants to discover it. So, I'm going to kind of pick things up here a little bit, group three of these games together that I don't think anybody else played, but jump in if you have. Skate 3, Trauma Team, and Alpha Protocol. Did anyone have any experience with those games this month?
I played the Skate 3 demo for about 10 minutes, and I was like, yes, this is a skateboarding game. And, and I was done after that.
Has anybody played any of the Skate series?
I bought Skate 2, thinking I was just going to love it, and I just got so bored.
Gotcha.
I don't know why. I actually think Tony Hawk games, like the old Tony Hawk games, were a lot more fun.
Dude, it peaked with Tony Hawk 2.
Definitely.
Or 3. The leap to the next gen was kind of nice on 3, but... That, yeah, they should have stopped a long time ago. But I'd be interested. Rob, you should check out the Skate 3 demo. I think they kind of tweaked it a little bit to make it a little bit more accessible. So I'd be interested in your opinion there. If you,
I probably just didn't give it enough time to really get into it.
Yeah, I know it seemed to be a lot more skill based than the old Tony Hawk games. So, but everybody that gets into it seems to be a big fan. So, kind of curious. The last game I kind of want to talk about actually just came out. Today, I still count it in the games of May just because it was so close to May, and I knew there's not much coming out in June. But we finally have a competitor in quotation marks for Madden. Backbreaker just came out, and I put up a quick preview of the demo that came out. And has anybody else given that a shot?
I played the demo.
What was your impression?
Well, I only played one game. We'll just say that.
Okay.
But I don't know. I kind of thought it was hard to get into a little bit. I think it'll take a little bit of getting used to, because I'm so used to that Madden type of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a lot more kind of a first-person type of over-the-shoulder, or like a third-person, but it really brings you down into the player's point of view more.
Mm-hmm.
The way they did the interface and stuff was kind of weird, but I don't know. Overall, I'd say it's probably pretty fun if you give it some time. But I don't know.
I mean, I just thought the perspective was really cool and has a lot of potential. And
the perspective is really cool. I'm curious how you're gonna play that game if you got your buddy over. Drinking a beer, how are you going to play that game together?
That's a good point. Didn't even think about that. But
that's the only time I ever play Madden.
The only way I can relate that game to other people is it feels like you're playing football, doing the roadie run in Gears of War. That's what it reminds me of. Is it's that perspective when you're sprinting in Gears of War, and if you can imagine, you know, not killing people but actually running into them with and avoiding tackles that way, it feels really cool, and it's just a matter of, you know, I wonder if more people would give it a shot if it had the license, is all. So
probably true. I think that, I don't know, there's something about having the real players that makes it more fun, and I don't know why.
I think that's definitely the consensus. So, we're kind of running behind a little bit, so I'm going to skip the topics of conversation as far as some news articles and just kind of get this wrapped up. I think we had a pretty good start to this, but there's been some things going on with Horrible Night. Obviously, this month we're going to be kind of focusing on the podcasts with. Going to try to do two group podcasts with the four or five of us, and maybe intersperse some more of the cursed where we can. And then on the off weeks, Cole and I are going to do more of a shorter news focused podcast mini cast segment for about 30 minutes with maybe a guest here and there. But at least Cole and I will do that on a weekly basis. And today you saw go up on the site our interview with Geek Soap, and we're going to start trying to reach out to other blogs kind of that are either starting out or based in Indianapolis or New York or out in California with Cole to just try to find someone to grow with and bring some new visitors to the site and get some more community involvement, because I feel like we've kind of established our base here, and we love getting comments from new people and engaging in conversation, because that's really what Horrible Night's going to be about. Is not, you know, there's plenty of sites out there bringing you gaming news and reviews, and we're just going to try to give you our take on things and also do a lot of editorial work and be really looking to hear from you on what you want us to cover and focus on. And you're also going to see in the next week or so some more posts about how you can engage with the site, how you can email us some questions, and even get on the podcast, help us choose some topics, or just email us at simon@horriblenight.com. Just any suggestions of the site, any news articles that you want to talk about, or to engage with us so we can help kind of cover what you want to cover. And I'm just kind of curious because, you know, right to this point, Horrible Night has kind of been driven by Cole and myself just trying to figure out ways to get interesting content up there as often as possible, but without just producing content to produce content. And I'm kind of interested in everybody else's thoughts as far as how the organization of the site has been going. And do you know where everything is, or have any questions about the weekly content? And I just thought, you know, with Ben, Christina, and Rob here, just from an outsider's take, do you have any questions about what's what or why we're doing certain things certain ways?
I personally don't. I think it all seems pretty straightforward. I don't know. I actually really like the way that it's organized. It makes sense to me.
Anything in particular that stands out that's maybe a little bit different that you like?
I like the idea of, I don't know, I like the kind of reflex reviews. Because you don't get a lot of that really in the community. Like, there's a lot of, you know, there's obviously reviews from people that have sat down and played through the whole thing, but I don't know. I kind of like getting an initial impression from people before I read about an entire game, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of where we started with the reviews and how to do them was, one, approach it as a, you know, an everyday gamer that, you know, has a job, has a life, but has this as their hobby that really you make up your mind of whether or not your $60 purchase was worth it before you finish a game, and just trying to give you our opinion when we've hit that point. That's kind of where the reflex reviews are going. But we also, you know, there'll be some games that we are, you know, we've spent a lot of time with that we want to do a more official review, and that's where the rated reviews come in. And then We've got only one retro review up on the site right now, but we've played a lot of games in the past, and I'm hoping to kind of build out the retro reviews a lot more, just looking back on some classic games or games that may not be in this current generation. And then, I've kind of had some ideas around Mass Effect, but we'll probably be doing some what I call recoil reviews, which I'd like to go back and look at Mass Effect 2 and my opinion of it once a lot of time has passed before Mass Effect 3 comes out. So hopefully you'll see some interesting takes there.
Yeah.
And as far as the previews go, we've gotten a lot of right now we've just got the testing previews for any of the demos that have come out on Xbox Live or on the PC. And we'll be doing another get 'em all type of preview once E3 wraps up in the next 2 weeks. I'll gather information about what's been announced and just get everybody's opinion on what they're excited about for E3 and for the rest of the year. And we'll try to do those monthly when there's a lot of games coming out that are interesting that month, but probably won't be doing that for June, because I just looked through the release list today and there's really only one or two on my radar. And knowing your guys' tastes, I'm sure there won't be too many jumping out at you either.
That's good, though. I need to catch up on May.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Like there's still two or three on this Games of May list that I still want to play, so...
I still have some from April that I need to catch up on. Like, I do want to play Splinter Cell at some point. I still have Uncharted 2 in my Gamefly queue. I still have Heavy Rain, so there's a lot that I want to go back and play.
Yeah,
I need to finish Bioshock 1.
Oh my, are you kidding?
No.
I love that game. I know a few people who haven't finished Bioshock 1, or even played it.
I started it. I played... maybe 4 or 5 hours, and then, I don't know, got distracted by something else shiny.
Yep.
Hey, nice segue. That actually brings me into how we've been organizing the news. On the right side of the site, that I think you're going to see this shiny objects expand a little bit more, and we are going to try to pick and choose our news articles, our headlines, a lot more carefully. We're going to try to give you one or two interesting articles a day, but you know, if it's a day like today, the news just isn't happening. People are getting ready for E3, and we're going to try not to clutter up our site with uninteresting things. So, but the stuff that gets close will show up in the shiny objects, and then I'll post the highlights of that every Monday in our shiniest objects posts. Right now, news is kind of also broken down into cursed activities, which will be kind of our group posts. Cole's gotten the reply to walls going. Those have been kind of a big hit here in the last two, which is just kind of our weekly email conversation amongst ourselves. And we'll share that with you on a weekly basis on shifting to Thursdays, because we're going to start posting the podcasts every Wednesday. And then editorials, hopefully you'll see a lot more of a focus on that going forward. The R Culture posts have started to pop up. Tommy's been running with that. That's Mr. Blue Awesome. Just anything as far as collectibles, special editions, or just little crafty things that are going on related to gaming will be focused there.
I love those special editions.
I've got one that my Bioshock 2 is still unopened.
Really?
Yeah.
I opened that sucker. I have to find out how I can convert that record to some kind of digital format. I know there's a place at Indie that will do it. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, comes with a record, and I have no means of playing it.
Did you get the special edition with the rather large Big Daddy?
No, I love that video. That would have been.
I did get that for the first one for the PC. I wasn't able to find one for Xbox.
And I was kind of upset about that. Up in the top right of the site, you'll see our YouTube link, and any gaming related videos that we come across, we tend to favorite on our YouTube page, and that old Big Daddy Special Edition was on there until they took down the video. So, but you can follow our YouTube site there and our Twitter account. Everybody, the Horrible Night Twitter account kind of focuses on just site news and updates, but you can keep track of the rest of us on our Twitter feed on the site. And then also our Facebook page is out there right now trying to look at ways to differentiate that right now, but it's mainly keeping our Facebook fans and in the loop with the site because we have some readers that's how they get their news, so that's been working out well. That's going to do it for tonight. Does anybody have anything else on their radar they wanted to say before we took off?
I did give in and I bought the nerdy edition of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, so I am the proud owner of night vision goggles. Yes!
Wow!
Yeah, I love those things. They're so shitty. It's basically, I paid $100 for the whole thing, so $60 for the game, $40 for the night vision goggles.
It's not bad.
It's not too bad. I got a new on Amazon, so.
So what are you going to do with those night vision goggles?
The question is, what have I been doing with the there is a warning on it that says, you know, do not use these as a life-saving device. So, you know, if someone breaks into your apartment with an axe, don't be slipping those on trying to sneak by him. These are the things that go through my mind. No, I've been chasing my cat. And it's kind of funny. It's good times.
Do they work pretty well?
They've got a really crappy, like, low-res... It's basically like a low-res video camera in the lenses. And but they do work. They really do work in absolute darkness. And, yeah, it's good times.
I'm proud to know you.
Nerd, level up.
You just bought that?
I recently, yes, within the last...
Good to know. I didn't know they were still selling those. That's
funny. Yeah,
I saw a bunch of them at Best Buy today, too. Oh. So they're still out there.
Interesting.
Get them, kids.
Well,
I had a final thought.
Sure. Go for it, Rob.
How the hell did you get so far on the ski jump in Trials? What the hell?
I'm sure I used my codes of some sort.
Beep, boop, boop, boop,
that's
beep.
The only thing I couldn't beat you on, hey, in the skills games.
Let me have one, man.
You got it.
I'm done. I'm going to look back through there and ruin your day the next time you load that up. But
all right.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Join us next week when Cole and I do a mini cast on the news of the week, and we will see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Later.
Thanks.